Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Well, here are the headlines. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Here are the dad jokes for this episode. XY Podcast.
There we go.
So I told my wife she was drawing her eyebrows too high. She looked surprised.
Have you heard about that movie, Constipation?
No.
It's not out yet.
Nice. So, my wife told me to take the spider out instead of killing it. So we went out and had a few drinks. Nice guy. He's a web designer.
Oh, wow. What is a knight's favorite fish?
What's that?
Swordfish.
They say you should never brush your teeth with your left hand.
Why?
Because a toothbrush works much better.
Why do seagulls fly over the sea?
Oh, why?
If they flew over the bay, they would be bagels.
Nice. I named my dog 5 miles so I can say I walk 5 miles every day. But my cholesterol is still bad.
Wow. Oh, man.
Which, in reality, I actually walk between 8 and 11 miles a day, and my doctor said my cholesterol is bad.
Oh, dang. Oh, you upped it from 5. Yeah. I'm good to get a mile in right now.
Well, I mean, you just recovered from major surgery.
Which is why we haven't came out with another episode in like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that, to me, is a very good reason. These were some of the worst dad jokes you've ever heard. And this is the latest episode of XY Podcasts in 2025.
Hit the music.
Have been away, busy traveling to New York. Others have been busy
traveling,
dodging bullets, and yes, getting major surgery and trying not to die.
Right.
How's that going for you?
That the recovery is I'm pretty much 100% now. I have a few little pains, but I go see the surgeon on the 6th.
And like, how many holes do you have in your thorax now?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. That's not counting your belly button.
That's counting my belly button.
Oh,
I have two inside my belly button.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
God dang.
I have one through the center of it, and then I have a smiley face underneath it.
They gave you a C-section?
Pretty much. They sucked that gallbladder right out of me.
Did they use the robot on you?
I think so. They said they were going to, but they also said there were complications during the surgery, so I don't know what he did or what the robot did. What if it malfunctioned? And that's why there were complications.
Oh. Well, that thing with the robot, it's called a Da Vinci. The doctor, like, I think the doctor's in the room operating it, but they're standing nowhere near you. They're like they're literally looking at into a monitor, working at like a like they have two video game controllers in their hand.
Dang.
And
That should be
my
easy for
underst
us.
right? Well, my understanding is that they could do that like from across the country. I
That's what
think
I've
there might be
heard.
some latency though, so I would think it'd probably be better to be on site so that there's no lag.
Right.
I mean, what if the Wi-Fi went out like in the middle of surgery? But speaking for many people, I'm sure I am glad that you are on the road to recovery and that everything went well.
Oh yeah, if it wasn't for my my older brother, then you wouldn't have me today.
Yeah, he was basically made you go to the doctor.
He called me, because I'm never really hurting. Like if I hurt, I just deal with it, go on my life,
Yeah.
But I told my mom, I was like, I'm really hurting. I think it's another kidney stone. And he called me that night and he was like, dude, you had x-rays earlier. Let's go see what they say. He asked me like 7 times. And then he's like, let's just go. Come on, let's go. And I started shaking really bad. And he's like, yeah. And then I was like, finally, okay, let's go. Let's go see what they say. I know it's a kidney stone. And I got up there and, stubborn me. I'm like, hey, I think it's a kidney stone. It could be my appendix. I don't know. I'm just hurting. And the doctor and surgeon walked in at like 4 in the morning the next day and was like, hey, if you waited one more day, you wouldn't be here. We'd be covering you up with a sheet. He said, your gallbladder is severely infected and it's leaking into your bile duct and it's going into your intestines.
Yikes. Yeah, that sounds about right. We men are a stubborn lot. I recall probably my dad would be dead now if I hadn't said, if you don't feel better tomorrow, we're going to the emergency room.
Right.
Because he otherwise would have just stayed in bed.
Yeah, that's me. I've just been like, I'm good. I recover.
Oh, yeah, we got to do better than that. We have to we have to do better. Can't
Yeah,
just
I asked the doctor. I was like, why didn't I feel like chest pains or in my stomach? And he replied with, you have such a high pain tolerance that if you have just a small pain, you need to come to us.
Yeah. I heard something back when I was going to physical therapy for my back. The doctor there was saying something like, we tend to ignore pain, but when you feel like a little bit of pain, that does mean that something is actually wrong. That said, at my age, I don't know how true that is. I think there are sometimes you just get some aches and pains that you just have to walk out. But, I don't know that that's true for everything. I mean, more times than not, when I start off walking in the morning, like that first 3/4 of a mile, I usually feel good by the time I hit that 3/4 of a mile point. But like from the time from the house until that point, I could have like my big toe will hurt for no reason, or like I'll feel pain in my ankle or my instep, or my right leg will just feel like not right.
So you know
And
it's
I'm
nothing
just,
serious. You're just like, this is it. I can deal with
I'm
this.
just, but usually by the time, and it's like 3/4 of a mile in, which like when I'm going up the first hill, usually by the time I get to like to the top of that first hill, I feel fine. But
Just kind of walk the pain off a little bit.
walk it out. Like Generation X, we that's how, what we used to do is
I
go
mean,
home. Mom, I think I've been shot. Walk it off. Walk it off.
I was raised around Gen X, so it's like, when I have my toe cut off, my mom's like, well, I told you not to play with knives.
And then she just sewed it back on.
Yeah,
That
she just
was.
patches it back up and we're on our way. Don't even go to the doctor. Yeah,
I've been meaning to ask you. So your toe works?
I have a completely functional toe. It just has a big scar across it.
No. I mean, the fact that your toe is functional and your mother sewed it back on when it was cut off, you don't even get to talk about that scar. That scar is that's you don't even. You don't even get to claim that scar. You have a fully functional digit on your foot that
Yeah,
was
thanks to my
removed.
mother.
Did you have major surgery to reattach an appendage? No. Your mom broke out the needle and thread. That's some gangster stuff right there.
Yeah, dude, she's like, we don't have, health insurance or something like that. We couldn't afford it back then. She was like, come on, we're gonna patch it up.
I could just, that's a visual that I was just, just sitting there. I mean, were you sitting there all glassy-eyed, like biting your bottom lip while she was sewing that mess back on, or?
No, I was watching the blood come out. As every time my heart would beat, I'd watch it squirt out, and I was like, cool. Hey, here's my toe.
Well, anywho, so since the last time we did this, I guess a few things have happened.
Yeah, there's a couple I'd like to talk about.
Well, let me start off just first by saying that, maybe it's because of my age. And I think that's largely what it is. But like I was in New York when Charlie Kirk got shot, and I had never heard of him
Oh,
before
man.
he got shot. I had heard his name casually mentioned on a podcast that I listened to, but I had no idea who he was or what he was into or what he was about or, why he might be shot. So the only thing that we were doing our thing up in New York, visiting with family, and it's like, oh, pops up on my feed, Charlie Kirk got shot. And the only thing that it's he was a friend of the Trump family.
Yeah, he was a big supporter.
Well, I mean, as I found out later, that he did do a lot to probably help get Trump elected, because of his influence with the young men. But yeah, I mean, that was just saying that he was a friend of the Trump family was really kind of burying the lead,
Yeah.
but I kind of retroactively did.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I'm not going to say I did a deep dive on him, but I started obviously Googling him, trying to find out more about him and why someone would, be interested in shooting him. Obviously he was said to be a very divisive figure and very controversial.
Very vocal.
He's very vocal, very conservative.
Oh, yeah.
And I would still say that in terms of my research and and finding out more about him, I'm probably just kind of scratching the surface because he was very active in his 31 years. But I will say that whether you agree with his politics or his views or not, he's the one guy you don't shoot.
You're right. You
Because
don't.
he was interested in having the conversation. So
And
that and
that's the
that's
people that die. I mean, think about
yeah.
it. MLK.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. It is usually those people who end up getting taken out, the ones who are like about let's have a dialogue.
Let's bring people together. That's the ones that get shot.
Did you see the Van Johnson? I think he's a CNN personality, black man.
Yeah.
He was a very him and Charlie Kirk were constantly beefing, but Van Johnson issued a statement. I mean, if you Google it, you can find it. But he said the day before he died, and he didn't see the message. Charlie Kirk sent him a message like the day before he got shot, but he didn't see it until after he was dead. But these were guys who were like he said. Van Johnson was like, Charlie Kirk and I were not friends. We were definitely adversaries. But the last message that he sent him was like, so we disagree, but let's disagree agreeably, you know.
I like
And
that. I like that. Yeah.
Van Johnson was like, you know, he said, you know, he gave him propers. He was just like, you know, this is somebody who I did not agree with at on any level, but you know, he had to give him respect for that. And like I said, that's in my mind. I guess you've probably heard me say that before. I'm always in favor of the long form discussion. Like, people are going to disagree. I'm reasonably sure that our politics are probably radically different on many levels, but the discussion is how you bridge, you know, the differences. If you're willing to actually sit down and discuss your ideals with somebody and exchange ideals, then that's the difference. If, you know, if somebody disagrees with you and they're the Antichrist, or they're a fascist, or you know, or they're a Nazi, then you know, you're not going to grow either. Because there's a possibility that you might be wrong, or you might find that your you know, maybe your perspective is not as broad or as enlightened as you thought it was. I will say this: there are a lot of people who I respect who have said, you know, very, very derogatory things about Charlie Kirk. So I went out looking for those derogatory things that he has said, and with the possible exception of one thing that he said about like DEI hiring, and it wasn't what he said, it was how he said it, just to
Yeah, I saw
clarify.
that just last night, actually.
So what he's saying, and I'll clarify this, you know, being somebody who would be a potential beneficiary of DEI, I didn't disagree with what he was saying. I just disagreed with how he said it.
Yeah, I mean, the vocabulary makes a difference.
And you know, and how you say something, you know, and like I said, I was kind of surprised by this point with all the stuff that I had heard about him, that I kind of expected to get more s inflammatory and divisive, and really just kind of I expected to get a lot more stuff than I got. I haven't really found a whole lot that, and it could just be because maybe I'm a closet conservative. Maybe I don't know, that might be it. I consider myself in the middle.
So you're the what is it called? Independent?
Yeah, I'm a I think more along the lines of I'm kind of just more of a critical thinker, I guess. But the bottom line is, like I said, I could completely, you know, he could have worshipped vacuum cleaners for all I care. You don't shoot someone who's willing to have the discussion. And you know, he was willing to go out there and have the discussion. That's the one guy you don't shoot. But you know, I think the twisted kid that actually shot him was someone who was very, very disturbed. And I don't know, you can I don't think you can throw that kid into a camp except for the, you know, camp crazy.
Couldn't agree with you
Although
more. Not only that, Kirk's got a huge following.
oh sure.
Oh yeah.
And like I said,
And hats off to his wife too for forgiving the killer.
that was probably the most impressive thing that came out of this whole thing, was you know, with her being able to just you know, be able to say I forgive you, you know. And she's like,
I mean,
she you know, she touted her faith and said that, you know, I forgive this person. You know, and
even
that's definite, that's
man,
biblical, that's def that's the standard of biblical Christianity, is
give me
being able to
goosebumps,
forgive.
dude.
Unfortunately, 47, like right after, is like, I'm not forgiving anybody.
Right.
he was like, screw that.
He's ticked. He's
But yeah, definitely you got to give her credit. But like, just the one takeaway that I got from this whole thing was, and you know, and kind of lumping the whole Jimmy Kimmel thing into it afterwards, is that people just don't listen. People say things, and then they want to scrape a soundbite out of it and say, oh, this is what they said. That's not what they said. That's a representation of what they said, and half the time it's completely inaccurate.
right.
You know, so you know, like I said, there was a lot of you know, talk that Kirk was a racist. I
Oh,
looked for racist stuff that he would have said.
you can't find
Now,
it.
and I could not find anything overtly racist. I think I found things that could be characterized as racist in a specific context, but there's actually videos out there of him actually debating actual racists. So, you cannot say that he is what you, he does not by any definition meet the standard of what you would call a racist. And like I said, the with you know like I said, with the DEI thing, yeah, there are certain things I saw him, like I said, characterizing that in a way that was probably l less than cordial. But I will say, once again, and maybe I was one of the few people that heard it, but when Kimmel got suspended,
Yeah, he's
he
not funny anyway. He's just not.
well, I don't actually, truthfully, I don't really actually watch him. My mother does, at least I think she does. She either watches Kimmel or Fallon. I think it's Kimmel.
He does a lot of backpedaling. He'll say something stupid and then be like, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry."
Who was that, Fallon?
No, Kimmel.
Kimmel. Oh,
Yeah.
okay. So I did watch his I watched the YouTube video of his first day back. But when he said what he said that was supposedly got him suspended, and they said that he blatantly characterized the shooter as being MAGA, I listened to what he said. He did not say that. He said that MAGA Nation was going out of their way to paint this kid as anything other than MAGA. And that was probably in response to what 47 and Pam Bondi and JD Vance said when they made very strong comments about saying that political violence only comes from the left. Now, I'm not putting words in Jimmy Kimmel's mouth because I can't do that. But when he made the statement, I said, well, okay, that's certainly going to be controversial. But everybody, I mean, and once again, people who I have respect for were saying, well, he said that the kid was MAGA. He did not say that. He said something other. He said, that the MAGA Nation is going out of their way to paint this guy as anything other than MAGA. Okay, well, which was true. But, like I said, but that's just one of many examples where I'll listen to somebody say something, and then you'll hear somebody comment on it, and it's a complete different take on what I'm hearing that person said. And it happens all the time. And it's not just something that happens to Jimmy Kimmel. It happens. Well, be you a fan of 47 or not, there are many times, and I think he's smart enough to capitalize it. He understands the media better than most. So I think he'll say something, and he knows that it'll be miscategorized, which is why he'll put it out there, because
I mean, he has like 80 years of it.
he has such a masterful understanding of media now. He every lesson that he learned during his first term, he has completely mastered, and he understands the media better than I think anybody ever has before him. But like I said, he'll say something, or anybody, like I said, there'll be these statements that, and just in interest of making it a soundbite, it'll just be characterized as something that we can just kind of put on the news and say, oh, so and so says this. That's not what they said.
Well, I mean, I guess he
They
figures if he says something that gets put on the news, it's taking the direction off of people that actually have something to say.
well, I mean, I think, and he's a kind of like the magician. He's a master of misdirection. There's a lot of times that, he'll say something. Well, just as an example, I'm not sure what the purpose was of having said this, but like when he made a statement about downplaying slavery, I know enough about Donald Trump to know that he does not believe that slavery was not bad. I know that. But I do believe that he will say it because, first of all, that's on brand for him. There was a movie out a couple of years ago called One Night in Miami, and it was a fictionalized account of the true friendship of Jim Brown, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, and Sam Cooke. They were friends in real life. And this person wrote a play about a night that they spent together in Miami, and they made it a movie. And there was this anecdote that Muhammad Ali told about this wrestler that he kind of idolized. And he said, I don't remember what the wrestler's name was, but he said that this wrestler made it a point to be the bad guy, to be kind of the person that people hated, because that's what just sold tickets and what drew people out to see him. And if you noticed, if you, I don't know how much you remember about Muhammad Ali, he sort of did that to a degree. He,
Oh, I kept up with his record for
yeah, well, I
sure.
mean, and that was in the ring, but outside the ring, he would, as a matter of fact, Joe Frazier for years hated him. If there was no Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier would have been the Muhammad Ali because he was a really good boxer. But outside the ring, Ali taunted him and talked about him like a dog, and just he was not kind to him. And Joe Frazier hated him for years for that. But for him, for Ali, it wasn't personal. It was him selling tickets. It was him doing what he believed was the best way to put on a show.
Right.
But I mentioned that to say that I believe that part of 47's persona is that exact thing. I think that a lot of times he'll say controversial things with no sincerity to it whatsoever, because it's on brand for him. Like I said, I do not believe that. I mean, there's been a lot of estimations about how intelligent or unintelligent he is. He's certainly more than intelligent enough to know his history, to know that slavery was not a great thing.
Exactly.
But I think there is certainly a lot of mileage that he can get from saying something controversial like that, because that's on brand for him. That's what folks have come to ex expect.
He's a media mastermind. That's the other.
And anyone who does not recognize that has not been paying attention.
Exactly.
This is someone who has spent some time in the media. I don't know how many years that the Apprentice was on the air, but like I said, from the first term to the second term, he has an instinctive understanding of the media. And like I
Yeah.
said, he'll say things, just like I said, just to kind of keep people off balance. But once again, there are people who are like, well, I, in his actual company, you may be aware that Bill Maher was invited to have dinner at the White House like some time ago. And it's like, why would you go have dinner with him? He's like,
Isn't he
because
like
it
one of the
once,
biggest liberals?
yeah, yeah,
That's what I thought.
and a very a very overt critic of Donald Trump.
Maybe that's
But
why
he
he
was
caught a lot
invited.
of heat for it.
If you don't have the conversation, then where's your room to bitch?
Right.
He got an invitation to have, to break bread with the man that he's very overtly critical of. So he took it. And he said that, in company, it was a very different man than, what we see in public. I've heard that's not just with Donald Trump, but I've heard that be the case in a lot of different scenarios. There's one podcaster who I listen to who kind of draws a lot of criticism from other podcasters on air, but like when he meets them face to face, they're very different. They're very cordial, and everyone's like, it's kind of like that whole thing. You remember the old Warner Brothers cartoon with like the sheepdog and the wolf, like they punch the time clock. Good morning, Ralph. Good morning, Sam. And then like they punch the time clock, and then they're constantly trying to kill each other. And then at the end of the day, they like punch the clock. Like, good night, Ralph. Good night, Sam. It's very much that kind of mentality. But when this whole thing about just shooting people is, it feels new. I
Real,
think
yeah.
Luigi Mangione, I think it just kind of the floodgates kind of opened when he shot Brian Thompson in the back like a freaking weasel, like a coward.
Coward. Yeah. I mean, did you
Or
see the one on the subway?
oh, with the was that the, with the woman from what
The Ukrainian.
the Ukrainian woman? I
She was.
know, I know less about that, unfortunately. I know that the guy was considered, but then what's his name? What, Brian Kilstead or whatever from Fox made the stupid statement that he made. So then that overshadowed anything about the issue.
You see, here's the thing about that. Okay, she was here for 2 weeks trying to better her life, and she gets stabbed on a subway by a man that's been in trouble 15 times with the law enforcement. Why
Oh,
was he out 15 times?
absolutely no excuse for that. And
If
like
he's in
I mean,
trouble 15 times, come on, man.
I think I heard something about they were trying to lay that at the feet of the judge who let him out for the last thing that he had, was guilty of. It really wasn't on her. At least if she let him out for something else before that, then that wasn't known. But the last thing that he was released for wasn't anything that he really should have been held for. But the fact of the matter is once it's too many times.
But the other thing is, no one stood up for her. Like, no one would help her out. What's that all about?
New York. Not saying that it's right, but it's very, that's very New York. What's the upside of going out of your way to protect the innocent when you're going to be the one who's going to be charged with with wrongdoing?
I can
Oh.
predict the future. It's going to go back to mob rules, back in the mob days.
Well, you may not be wrong. But that's yeah, like I said, people just don't listen to each other. And like I said, the long form conversation, if people were to were to actually listen and instead of just saying, oh no, you're from the left. Oh no, you're from the right. You're one of those fascist, Nazi, conservative Republicans. Oh, you're one
Right.
of those liberal, tree hugging, dress wearing, trans loving left people. There's and really, that's just kind of that stuff is just really kind of perpetuated by social media, because most of us do live in the middle. Most of us really kind of do abide
Right.
by common sense things, and we're just like, we don't really care about all that noise or what you guys are touting as important important issues. We just want to freaking pay our bills.
Yeah, I don't care if
We
you
just,
voted Democrat or Republican. If you're a good person, then cool. You know?
it's well, and this, I mean, I have long been kind of flustered and exhausted with this whole two-party system.
That's unfortunately what it is.
And that and that's and it's like it's like the football game. If I go to a Steelers game and want to root for my football team, and I'm wearing Steelers colors, that's one thing. But last time I checked, everyone who lives here, our team colors should be all red, white, and blue, not just red, not just blue, but
Exactly.
red, white, and blue. We're all residents of the country. The last time that wasn't the case was a civil war. They had a lot of stuff to fight about back then, but
Yeah, I mean, and look at us now. I'm a southerner talking to a northerner, and we're not arguing.
although I wonder, because I mean, actually, I grew up in the north, but both sides of my family actually came from the south, so. My father's parents came from Georgia, and my mother's parents came from Alabama. So,
So you're Southern at heart.
yeah, yes. Well, certainly my diet would have. I had collard greens and fried fish for dinner. So,
I don't see how you don't have your gallbladder taken out.
well, like my doctor said, my cholesterol is high. So, which reminds me, I
Get
gotta.
that taken out though. Wouldn't
I'm gonna
that be
take my.
weird though? We're taking out our cholesterol today.
If I could take my cholesterol out and I would have to take these dang pills, I would love that.
You know, being the size that I am, surprisingly, I don't have high cholesterol or high blood pressure.
That is interesting, because I have both. I have high cholesterol and high blood pressure. I just recently had a physical, and I was popping my high blood pressure medication like crazy.
That's wild. That's wild. You're in
And
way better shape than I am.
well, like I said, I mean, I don't know that I could definitely characterize it like that. I mean, perhaps I'm better conditioned because I walk every day, but my cholesterol and my blood pressure suggest otherwise. And like I said, I was taking my cholesterol medication as much as my blood pressure medication, but maybe I just didn't take it enough, or maybe my doctor's right and I need a higher dosage. But
I don't know. It sounds like your body's having a civil war within.
well, I mean, I'm kind of at the age now where things maybe are changing a little bit. I don't know, but yeah, it is what it is. So you had mentioned that there was something on your mind.
Oh, that was everything earlier.
Oh, okay. That's all the political stuff.
Yeah, I had to get that off my chest. That had been bothering me for like 2 weeks.
Well, actually, there was a lot of stuff, but like you said, the folks just don't listen to each other, and somebody who got young people to have conversations was taken out by somebody who probably was a recipient of something that he was trying to do.
Now, I don't know if this is true or not. I heard he was like one of the leading reasons he shot Kirk was because of Kirk's view on transgender people.
I've heard that suggested, because of the person that he was dating.
His roommate? Was his roommate or was he dating him?
Well, I think they were in some kind of a relationship, girlfriend or boyfriend. I don't want to misrepresent whatever the relationship was, but I had heard that suggested, but I can very safely say that this person was, w regardless of whatever the reason they thought they were doing it, he thought he was doing it for, he was just not right in the head. I will say that I didn't even I didn't look for the footage, so I haven't seen him getting shot.
Don't do it. It's very, very brutal and very sad. I mean, that's the best word I could use for it.
Yeah, no, I had no desire to see it. It was, like I said, I heard enough, enough categorization of it, and the description of it. But it was just that the major tragedy was, like I said, I mean, he was a young guy, so I, like I said, still I know very, very still know very, very little about him.
I
But
watched him for
I,
4 years.
oh really? So
Yeah.
you. I got the impression that he was a true believer, that he was committed to, he was convicted. He was a sincere guy, and he wasn't just somebody who was peddling rhetoric. I think that he honestly believed everything that he was putting forth.
Oh yeah, and
That's.
he wouldn't just debate political stuff either. He would debate religion, his faith.
And like I said, I was looking for this villain. I was looking for this, this fascist, racist, carrying water for, Magonation. And I so far I have not found that. I've found somebody who was a conservative, had a conservative viewpoint, definitely seemed to me, as far as I can tell, seemed to be serious about his faith, which is just going to always score points with me. Like I said, I don't have to agree with all of his points and all of his individual, viewpoints on everything, but we're different people, so you're not going to agree with everyone. But the fact that he was willing to have the discussion and to represent his viewpoint from a reasonable, logical standpoint, and willing to have the dialogue, and he gave people a chance to say that, to state their viewpoint, and then
Oh
he
yeah.
answered it.
That's why his
So,
show is called Prove Me Wrong. So people could debate him.
so I, like I said, I will probably continue, retroactively going through the files of Charlie Kirk. But no matter how you slice it, and no matter what camp you're in, and unless you're just unless you're just heartless and a warmonger, you have to definitely conclude that it was a loss, for
Yeah.
sure. But yeah, that's the one guy you don't kill, the guy who wants to have the conversation, the one guy who can say, this is why
Yeah, the
I
hard
believe what I believe.
topics. The guy that wants to talk about the hard topics.
Thank God, and I say thank God sincerely that his widow said what she said about forgiving that man, because it's not about Tyler Robinson. It's
Right.
about her being able to rise above and take a Christian position, because
She did it for herself, for her faith.
I mean, and you can say, if you want to be cynical about it and say, well, she's just saying it because the cameras were there. I don't think anybody at all would have blamed her if she said, I hope Tyler Robinson burns in hell.
They would have probably cheered it, honestly.
They probably would have cheered it, but she said, I forgive him.
And they still
And
cheered
that,
her.
and if you saw, that choked up Jimmy Kimmel too. When he was, he was on his, doing his comeback broadcast. When he came to that, he sincerely got choked up about it. And if you saw her in that moment, I don't care who you are, you got misty eyed.
Oh, yeah.
And
I watched the whole thing.
I dig being able to put out a point of view and be willing to have the conversation. That's probably why I dig guys like Bill Maher and Chris Cuomo. I don't necessarily agree with everything those guys say either, but I love that they're willing to have the conversations. I love
Right.
that they're willing to have people from the other side on there and engage them. That to me is where you're going to make progress.
Shows character.
But yeah, this was a rather different episode, I would say.
I say I enjoyed this one.
Well, I think is probably more so a much needed debrief and catch up between two friends who haven't talked in a while.
Amen.
But a chance to relate about current issues and also close calls, because I'm not mentioning any names, but somebody was close to death's door not too long ago. So,
24 hours, and that would have been it. That's
yeah.
crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, we would have been pissed at you. Really.
When I die, I'm gonna come up there and kick y'all ass.
No. Dig him up right now. Shocking,
in
shocking.
the nuts.
Oh, you alive now? You alive now? But not long. Yeah, no. Thankful to God for that. Like I said, we're definitely. I know I was m one of many people that was praying for your recovery. So, I'm glad that you came through it.
Oh man, you know what the funny part about this was though? Man, I was coming off the anesthesia, right? And I was like holding this guy's hand, the anesthesiologist, and he looked over at me and he goes he said, "You ask me if you can hold my hand and I'm not going to tell you no." He was working on his computer typing, the information in. And I was like, "I need my hand back now." Hey, I got my hand back. Okay, so look at this. I'm still coming off this anesthesia stuff, going up to my room, and the lady, she injects me with this needle, okay? And she's like, "We just gave you fentanyl, honey. You're fine." And I was like, "You gave me what?"
Oh,
I go back into
yeah.
this loopy stage, apparently, okay? And I guess
Well,
I'm really not good on fentanyl.
fentanyl is one of the many things that they inject in you when they put you out under anesthesia. It's like a 16 drug cocktail, and fentanyl is one of them.
Oh,
What I
yeah.
don't understand is why she gave you fentanyl while you were supposed to be recovering and coming from out of the anesthesia.
I have no idea, but apparently, I told my aunt she was the most beautiful girl in the room. I asked my mother out on a date.
Oh dear.
I was rubbing the guy anesthesiologist's back the whole time he was trying to check me for stuff. I asked my Uncle Ronnie to give me a kiss.
I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm really glad when I recovered from my colonoscopy anesthesia that I was alone.
Yeah, definitely. Next time I'm going to request that. Assuming there's a next time. I'm pretty sure there will be. But
Well, yeah, when at least in the days when you get start getting your colonoscopy, which I think you're supposed to start that at 40 now. So if there was never a better note on which to end a podcast, sounds like the best place to pinch this off.
yeah, we
Like
can plug this right up now.
yeah, it's like let's pinch this loaf.
Wipe away to another good episode.
And with that, I will say X,
Why?
Z,
See
you
you
later.
later.
We're out. Yes, good talk, brother. And like I said, thank God that you're on the road to recovery.
Yeah,
So I'll
thank you for that. I just have this little, like, next to my belly button on my right side. It's like a like a baseball size, so like constantly punching me in the stomach. But that's normal. It was like, dude.